Gentlemen, whether you're two dates in or going 20 years strong, a Valentine's Day gift is always a good idea, even if you let the kiddos pick it out. Just hit the Walmart app and get it delivered in an hour with express delivery. Sound good? Great.
Subject to availability. Restrictions and fees apply.
Finding ways to be financially savvy is a smart move, and knowing you could be saving money for the things you really want, like that dream home or new ride, is a great feeling. That's why the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you save when you choose to bundle home and auto. Bundling, just another way to save with the Personal Price Plan. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into the Winklerverse. I am Bart Winkler. It is great to be with you here tonight, post-Super Bowl and post-football. And now what? We've got baseball coming up. That's interesting. Eventually, we'll have about a month and a half here of fake games. Although I do get into the WBC. I do get into the World Baseball Classic. Happy to admit that. As well, into the Olympics. Was watching some Gold Zone before I retreated into the basement. This is our National Perspective Show. Carlos Ortiz will join us momentarily. Also from the Infinity Sports Network, RIP EJ Stewart should be on with us later this hour. So we'll talk a lot about the Super Bowl, of course. I just wanted to first acknowledge the very heavy news that is happening in our neck of the woods. And that is that Caleb Durbin has been traded. Caleb Durbin, who stepped into the Winklerverse not just a few short weeks ago, has been traded to the Boston Red Sox. The Brewers essentially have nobody to play third until they figure out who exactly that is going to be. They've traded Caleb Durbin, Andrew Monasterio, and Anthony Siegler, basically everyone that's played third for them, and around B selection to the Red Sox for Kyle Harrison, who seems to be the centerpiece of the deal, 24-year-old lefty, Shane Dronin, another pitcher, lefty, and then an infielder, David Hamilton. So I don't know. They just made that trade last week, or the Freddie trade, so maybe – I don't know. They're reshaking the infield deck. But what that means is Caleb Durbin, friend of show, has been traded. Crushing news for the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders. Crushing news for the Winklerverse. Carlos Ortiz.
The Dock Spiders? Is that a team you just said?
Yeah, the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
Oh, that's that's funny. Yeah, no, absolutely crushing blow. I saw the trade news. Yeah, thank you. I saw the news. I was just like, didn't Milwaukee just get Durbin? Didn't they just like get him from the Yankees and like Bart just interview him? So
yeah,
I thought the timing couldn't be any more better, considering you literally just spent time with
him. Talked to him. I'm like, I finally got an in with the Brewers,
and Milwaukee knew that, and they're like, nope, we can't have this guy close to us. Let's go ahead and ship him off to Boston.
One of my buddies was like, did you get him traded? I'm like, it's hard not to feel like I didn't.
It really feels like you're responsible for this.
I mean, this whole town hates me, and the one guy that I like no, get to know is traded immediately.
Don't!
And that's a big blow. Yes, the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders.
Yeah.
He's somebody that played for their Northwoods League team. And so it's an hour away from Milwaukee. They're able to do, they have a bobblehead night, I think, this upcoming summer again.
Sure.
But they planned it around Milwaukee. It's just a mess. And when I was talking to Dock Spiders, they're like, you know, we hope he doesn't get traded, but we feel pretty good. He might not. Nope.
Rough.
Got traded. So that is the news I wanted to start with. Jake did send me a message.
It's pretty rough.
Winklerverse.
Bad for the Fond du Lac fans.
He said Winklerverse. He said Winklerverse more like Winkler curse. No? Winkler curse? Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't no selling you. My internet just jumped.
Yeah, I was hoping it was that, because otherwise, Jesus Christ, what are you even doing here?
Yeah, it definitely is like freezing up a lot, and I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, not asking me for react.
This is great. And then Jake said to completely steamroll the joke, interview Doc Rivers next.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you good?
I don't know. I'm like, do I need to leave and come back? It's never been this bad.
You look good right now. The other local news is the Bucks have a participant in the 3-point shooting competition next week.
Nice.
They also have a former player in Damian Lillard, whoa, who ripped apart his ACL, but is now good enough to take some threes. Yeah. That will be prior to the slam dunk competition featuring Carter Bryant, Keshad Johnson, Jackson Hayes, and Jace Richardson. Jace Richardson, I think most of these guys in their career have attempted single digit dunks. I think Hayes might be in like the 60s, but yeah. Jace he's on the internet like, me? Like, what? Why am I in this? And then he's like, LOL, I guess. Okay. See, ooh, there's what we need to remember. And I talk about this with the Pro Bowl, and I talk about this with the All-Star game and the slam dunk thing. A lot of times people don't want to do this.
Yep.
But then you get like down the list far enough where even if a guy knows he's not deserving, like Mizorowski had 5 starts, he shouldn't be in an All-Star game, but you say no to that. Shedeur Sanders shouldn't be in the Pro Bowl. Tell him to say no.
Right.
He's got Jace Richardson. He shouldn't be in the dunk contest, but shit, I can either be at this All-Star weekend or not. Fuck, I'll go do some stupid dunks.
Yeah. I mean, when you have guys like Mac McClung, who have been household names for the last couple of years, not going to the dunk contest. I mean, this is what you're going to get. When Mac McClung was a household name for the dunk contest in the last 5 years, not going, you have to go with whoever's going to say yes.
How is he not in it? Is he just, it's too much?
I don't know. I guess with his, with his new lucrative contract, two-way contract with the Bulls, I guess he just couldn't find the time in order to participate this year. Maybe he just doesn't want to be looked at as just a dunker anymore. He wants to be able to prove that, hey, I could actually ball in this league. Good for Mac McClung.
The NBA came down with McClung poisoning.
That's right.
What'd you think of the big game?
First half, I mean, I'm sure like a lot of people, what a snooze. Defensive battle, if you're into that kind of stuff. And I enjoyed watching, the pass rushes for both teams kind of get after it. I mean, Sam Darnold, I think, obviously, you know, not really lighting up the scoreboard. He didn't have to. The most important thing Sam Darnold didn't do was turn over the ball. He didn't commit an entire turnover this postseason. So I thought he was brilliant. I mean, I'm glad, Kenneth Walker.
Some that were close.
Yeah, no, for sure. You know, there was a couple passes that just sailed up there. Like Christian Gonzalez could have had 2 picks, but he prevented 2 touchdowns. I mean, I thought the defenses on both ends played very well, which is, again, why the first half was like kind of a snooze, but I appreciated it. Second half, obviously, was where it took off a little bit. And this is, I think, if you have been invested this season in the NFL, whether it's fantasy or just, your team being eliminated, or you're just overall a casual / diehard football fan, you appreciated the outcome of yesterday's game. And you're like how things unfolded in the second half, being that Seattle should have won. Seattle was one of the best teams in the NFL all year. And they cement that with the redemption arc of Sam Darnold. I truly appreciate it. And again, if you are a football fan, you knew the Patriots got lucky. You knew the Patriots should not have been here. Drake May played like shit this entire postseason, but he kept getting passes because he married his high school sweetheart. So we all love that. And what a cute story these plucky Patriots are.
Did you know the last time the Super Bowl was in that stadium, Drake May was there?
Yes, because they kept talking about it every 4 seconds.
You didn't know that?
Dude, I was listening to Westwood One's coverage, which, shameless plug, I work for Westwood One Sports, but I was listening to their coverage on the way to my Super Bowl party, and I wish I could remember who the color guy was or the analyst was. He said that Drake May will have some familiarity, will be comfortable. because he attended a Super Bowl in this stadium as a fan. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I mean, because this guy rolled
Harlan
up
on the call, because then that was Kurt Warner.
Harlan was on the call, but it wasn't. It was the pre-shade. It was whoever Scott Graham was with. And I don't want to drag him because I'm sure they do a good job, and we are technically teammates. Well, what an asinine observation that Drake May is going to be comfortable at Levi Stadium because he went as a fan like 20 years ago. Fuck you. I mean, that once I heard that, I immediately went Seattle. Fuck 4.5. I went Seattle 6.5. And I banged that one with the under on the first half, and I hit them both because it was just genius. But yeah, all in all, it was a fine game. I think it was a good broadcast. I'm just so sick of hearing about all the Drake May stuff. Now it's the overcorrection. Now all of a sudden Drake May sucks. He's a bozo. Yeah. Should have never been in first. The truth is in the middle. He's a good quarterback. I think he's got the makings to be a great quarterback. He still needs some talent around him. But the Patriots were lucky to be there. It was a good season for them. The best team won yesterday. I'm happy with the outcome.
They're calling Drake May the schedule.
Yeah, I saw that. It's so funny. It's actually much better than Drake May nickname. Drake May the schedule. He should be in the Patriots schedule release video when they do the social media. Lean into it. It'd be so funny.
We are brought to you by Happy Place Hemp. Promo code is BART. 25% off every order. I had one of these last night. So I have the 10 milligram seltzers. These are good. There you go. But last night on the Super Bowl postgame show, I cracked open one of the 20s.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's the fallen soldier.
Ay, caramba.
I think the fallen soldier is actually somewhere over there. I threw it. 25% off each and every order at happyplacehemp.com. They'll send you the seltzers, gummies, and more. Give them a look. Happyplacehemp.com. Again, the promo code is BART for 25% off. Carlos's appearance brought to you by our friends at Carl's Place. Link in the comments on the YouTube to check them out for golf simulators. And we're on the Dan Shaney YouTube stream. I won a few bets. I want to tell you this because last year I had the game script down pretty good with the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Where the Eagles, if they were going to win that game, they had to blow them out. Now, what I did not account for, I'll tell this story a million times, is I thought the Eagles were going to blow them out so bad. I found the biggest line I could. Yeah. Eagles 19-point favorite. They won by 18.
Yep.
So it's not like I put tons of money on it, but the odds were great. I would have won lots of money.
Yeah.
But instead, I didn't buy a point. This year, I was kicking this around with Horvat last week, and I really think that I got the spread wrong on this game. But I had the Seahawks as the winner, but mm-hmm. I thought they'd end up winning like 28-24. But the game script I had was low scoring first half.
Yep.
So I had some bets like under 14.5 points first half, really? Under 11.5 points first half. I had a bet no score by either team in a quarter. Just missed that.
Mm-hmm.
3-0, 3-0, or 6-0. But I thought it'd be slow to start just because even though this is a different Patriots team, that's what they've done. I think this is like their 8th out of 9 Super Bowls where they did not score a first quarter point. That's just something this organization does. Wow. And then I thought they would score a bunch in the second half, both teams. I had Mac Hollins to score.
Did you?
Yeah. And then like I was talking to Horvat like an hour before the game, he goes, fuck it, I'm throwing money on AJ Barner first touchdown.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, I'll do that too.
Horvat not being in, more featured more off is criminal.
I agree.
Absolutely criminal. Make sure you send that to him and let him know I said that.
I will. So I was making some of my bets on Kelce, okay? Which.
Oh, what are you and Giannis going in as co-investors now?
All right, let me tell
There's
you.
Nothing wrong with that.
So here's why I'm so upset about Giannis being a part of this. The predictive markets, they cannot be legal.
No.
They're such bullshit.
They're circumventing the whole sports book shit because they're not considered a sports book. They're considering themselves like a stock market.
And sports betting in and of itself is kind of bullshit.
Absolutely. It's the Wild West.
But this is worse. Now, where I've had more enjoyment out of this is you can cash out. You can make a bunch of money on a single game because it's, you know, trading with percentages. So if the Bucks take a big lead, I'm going to bet on the Magic because I know the Bucks will blow it like tonight. Magic will come back. The odds will change. I'll cash out, and then I'll say, okay, now I'll take the Bucks. Then the Bucks go up 10. I'm cashing out constantly instead of just placing a bet on the Magic to win. So the predictive markets based on sports gambling, although there's some places you can cash out now, but that's what I've liked about it. Also, I hate it. Okay. I hate that I'm on there to begin with. I got on there because my buddy's crazy about Kelce.
Yeah.
Crazy about it. And he's like, look, you get 10 bucks. I'm like, fuck, fine. And he's explaining it to me what it is. I go, I know what it is. I was psychotic last year leading up to the presidential elections where I would check the poly market lines on all of the races during work, like multiple, like during calls. Whenever I had 8 seconds of not talking, I would check it. So I know how they work. But what I don't like about them is there's a lot of insider activity going on mm-hmm. these things. There was a guy who all of a sudden yesterday was like, Lady Gaga is going to be at this halftime show. And he made a wallet and he had like 16 bets of who would and who would not be there. And the only one he got wrong was Cardi B. He put no because she wasn't going to be performing, even though she showed up as a cameo.
Yeah.
So it was like language.
And she was seen at soundcheck, you know, and so that came out the bag.
But so Lady Gaga, I see all this Lady Gaga shit, and I'm like, she ain't fucking performing. So I bet against it.
Oh.
I know it's going to happen. So then today, there's a new wallet that got made that apparently U.S. is going to strike Iran today. So look out for that.
But I think I want in on that action.
This is the problem. We are able to bet on shit like that.
Yeah.
They're betting on Venezuela.
Dude, they're literally betting on the weather.
They're betting on the weather. They're betting on wars. They're betting on a lot of shit that you shouldn't be betting on. So, yeah. And a lot of shit that you can easily be an insider for. So yes. When Giannis, after this, like I, as a Bucks fan, am just grinded down because of 10 years of Shams doing this bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
But if you just look at it from like the last month, you're seeing Giannis say one thing and then give quotes that he wants to be here forever. You're saying Giannis say another thing and then another report. The odds from an outsider perspective about what was going to happen with the Bucks at the trade deadline had swings because of the things Giannis was saying and the reports coming out around him. The day after the trade deadline, he announces a partnership with Kelce. And then last night, he was at the Super Bowl. He was there. And they have a game in Orlando tonight, I think. Yeah, Orlando. It's like, it just doesn't feel... There's a lot going on with Giannis right now. It just doesn't feel like he is an NBA basketball player. I think that's my problem with that.
I think he's the perfect representation of what an NBA basketball player today is now. It's almost, see, Giannis was a throwback. He was a throwback. Whereas like he wanted to be a guy, wanted to stay in one team his entire career, wanted to beat the best. He wanted to win an NBA championship on his term with his guys and, you know, defy the super teams and not be a me guy. Where it's now, it's, brother, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that my name is in the dirt sheets. Make sure that, that I'm seen at these red carpet events. Make sure that people know where my money is going in terms of my investments. It's like, no, Giannis is now, he's now a modern day NBA player. Welcome to America, Giannis. About time you got here.
I can understand why, if you're not a Bucks fan, you would look at Giannis as the bad guy in these sagas, because especially if you're somebody on a team that thought you were going to get him.
Yeah.
And then it looks like he's ready to leave and then he's not. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah. What a tease.
This, I don't, I have like a weird. So if we were on, I still keep thinking about what would we do if we were on the air.
Not me. I enjoy not coming into work at 9:30 at night after a big dinner, fighting traffic.
Dude, I've been going to bed at like 10:30.
Oh, it's so. I have not seen a 2 or 3 a.m. in the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, this is great. I mean, how was I staying awake this long?
I don't know. Like I told you, I'm getting fatter though.
Yeah, I weighed myself today. Once again, I have not gained a single pound. I have not lost a single pound. Still stuck at 239, but I did have 4 slices of pizza and 28 wings, 5 beers, along with a slice of cake in the last 24 hours. So ask me how I'm feeling by Wednesday.
None beers, but I had one of these. So.
Oh, man, that looks great. I wonder if you can get a promo code to save some.
Oh, yeah, that's from Happy Place Hemp. Promo code BART, 25%. So, I mean, I can understand why people would like, but I'm trying to figure out, because I'm such a Giannis supporter. Giannis, if you don't like his actions over the last 3 months, it doesn't invalidate that Bucks fans have been getting pummeled with this for a decade.
Yeah, for sure.
But nobody gives a shit. Nobody cares.
The sexy story is where he's going to go. We've been talking about where he's going to go for 10 years.
So he's with Kelce. Love it.
Terrible look.
Before we talk more about the game, you got the PR hat on. Were you proud of your boy last night?
You want to give me like 60 seconds of runway here? I thought.
You watched the other one?
I'll get there. I thought this was the most offensive and exploitative halftime show in history. Where does Bad Bunny get off using symbols of colonization in his performance? This halftime show is supposed to represent Americans, by Americans, for Americans, not a bunch of settlers, all right? Using sugarcane and jewelry as imaging, like, what are we doing? That's so 1900s. And his hippie haircut. Bart, did you see those sideburns? They look terrible. Long flowing locks. Give me a Johnny Unitas haircut. Now that's a haircut you could set your watch to, all right? And speaking of the 1950s, I thought we evolved as a society. How was that music last night? It was absolutely disgusting by not Mr. Good Rabbit, okay? Sexually suggestive lyrics. Body movements like rubber legs and hip thrusting. He's like grinding the air. That's disgusting. Okay, is that what we're doing? No, thank you, sir. Give me a wholesome performer like Elvis any day. All right, he would never. And how dare you, Mr. Bunny? How dare you subject hardworking Americans, men of faith, to images of Karol G, Cardi B, and Jessica Alba? Dude, that was utterly distasteful. Classless. I mean, thank goodness we had an alternate show headline by Middle Age Rock. And you want to know what the last straw for me, Bart, was? You want to know the whole turning point of this whole halftime performance? The messages of love, unity, acceptance, and respect, togetherness. I don't want that when I'm watching football. I want to see hate, right? I want to see violence. It made me sick to see that. I had to go put more ice in my cup to cool off my drink, how upset I was. Worst halftime show ever. Ever.
All right. I didn't realize what you were doing.
What do you mean what I was doing? I'm passionate about that. How dare Bad Bunny like thrust his, you know, genitalia around attractive women? I won't stand for it.
I was shitting on the notion that we needed a second halftime show.
I couldn't find it. I was just curious to like... I was curious where people were going to see that. Cause I was on Twitter. Like, listen, I was locked into the performance. It was a lot of things, and all joking aside, it wasn't my all time favorite halftime performance, but it was up there just because personally for me, I thought Bad Bunny did it, you know, an incredible job of bringing awareness to some things that people have flat out forgotten. So I don't know, obviously, you know, you being, you know, Bart from Wisconsin, you know, I'm sure some of the things kind of went over your head, like, and that's totally okay. That's the point of this. Like, maybe some aspects of the performance weren't for you, and I don't mean you specifically, but weren't for you as a general public, but there was messages about how Puerto Rico's infrastructure still fucked up from Hurricane Maria about 5 years ago. So when he's climbing the power lines and you see the grids going off, that's because there's still rolling blackouts in the country. I still remember images of Trump throwing paper towels into the crowd. That that's what you need. We needed the federal funding that you promised 5 years ago. That's tied up in bureaucracy. That's not going to happen. The sugarcane fields, I thought that was a great, symbol. Obviously I joked about that, but that's what started the exploitation of Puerto Rico. Mining jewelry was another thing. There's just a lot of powerful messages that are out there. And I think the biggest thing for me was I talk about like the messages of love and unity, all this stuff. When he's saying God bless America and he starts naming Latin countries and you're like, what the hell? Why is he talking about Paraguay and Uruguay? But he's talking about all of America, not just North America. He's talking North America, South America, Central America. So that's why you hear Guatemala, Chile, Peru, like together we are America.
Peru. I thought that was it.
Peru. Yeah.
No, you said Peru.
Peru. Yeah. Nicaragua. El Salvador,
right.
But no, I thought there were a lot of powerful messages out there. I thought he did a great job. I don't think it was offensive at all. Like if you had taken umbrage with the fact that there were two guys dubbing on each other, that's your business. That's your prerogative. But I thought he did a fine job. And I thought even if you didn't understand Spanish, you can understand emotion. And to me personally, I still have like the Dr. Dre, Kendrick, Snoop, like that whole West Coast halftime show. That to me is my favorite one because that's the music I grew up with. But I would be happy enough putting Bad Bunny up there in the top three just for the messages and what it represented to me as a Puerto Rican.
I don't know. It kind of ruined, not to tell you too much about what we were doing, but
please.
I just gotten done with my fifth taco. And my wife was eating a burrito and my kid was having a chimichanga. I think that's what he had. I don't know.
Oh, he had the best meal.
Yeah. I don't know what he had. We have some, when he was at daycare, he was at that Spanish immersion daycare. So we want like one of the teachers, she comes over and watches him sometimes. And I was on my seventh Corona and I had to spit it out because how dare there be Spanish on my fucking TV?
That's right. Biggest problem I have with the halftime show, I couldn't understand it.
You know what though? This would be my struggle because I would try to attack the halftime show from a non-political way. Like I'm shitting on the halftime show and everyone goes, "Oh, liberal." Okay, what's your eighth clue? But then second of all, politics aside, the fact that you had to have, like, if you're going to boycott a halftime show, boycott the halftime show.
Right. Don't start a new one.
Don't be like, but I still need it. No, you don't. And then I'll say this. This is what I would have said on the show tonight. And because I would really try to not talk about it politically, but still talk about it.
Sure.
Because I think there's a fine line in there. But the way that I would start to alienate people politically is if I said, and how would you feel if they go through this whole production to make sure that there's another halftime show? And then I saw a video at Mar-a-Lago. And what are they watching at halftime? Fucking Bad Bunny. What the fuck?
You went through all this shit and your core audience was still watching, was still hate watching
Bad
Bunny show.
The jester comes and dances for the king. King's on a smoke break. What the fuck's the jester doing here?
The king went on a beer run.
Right.
Yeah. I thought people who were hating on it were just hating on it. Like honestly, like if you really felt strongly about the halftime performance being Bad Bunny, show me something. Don't watch the game. Forget about boycotting the halftime show. Don't watch the game, period. Turn the TV off. That's where you make it hurt, not the halftime show.
Try angel soft for your tushy. It's made by angels. Soft and strong, budget friendly. Right. The
choice is simple.
Pick up a pack today.
Angel Soft. Soft and strong,
simple. Carlos, you and I the other night had the pleasure to join EJ Stewart. He's doing 40 days and 40 nights of podcast, and he's going to join our podcast.
Nice.
Formerly of the Infinity Sports Network. Do you have the clapping? Do you have it?
EJ Stewart.
Yo.
I got it. Jesus.
There you go. What's happening, guys?
Do you want to get in the halftime discourse or should we go to the game?
Sure. Wherever you guys want to go. I was listening to it. I was enjoying the conversation.
EJ, for those that don't know, on the Winklerverse, he was with the Infinity Sports Network. We maybe did two shows together at some point.
I think it was more than that.
We've done
on those week on those weekends.
Yeah, but was... I think I did a morning one with you once.
Yeah, and you have done a morning show. Yeah, so
maybe three.
Maybe five.
The chemistry that you guys have is unparalleled.
I think maybe five or six, I feel like. Somewhere around there. I was doing the part-time grind for a while. Like it was kind of, it was almost 2 years. So you know, you get thrown on random weekend shows, and yeah, I definitely rocked you a little bit. So always great to talk to you, Bart. Always great to talk to you, Carlos.
I think the three of us all busted our ass, and look what we have to show for it.
Oh yeah. Dude, and you know what? Yeah. Not to take this one off the rails, man. Do you guys hear what's going on in the fan? Shit. I mean, it's infinity all over again.
Well, I'm there, so.
Oh, I think everything is great. We love the fan.
I was there last night. What happened to the fan last night?
Nothing. Nope. EJ, everything's perfect. We'll talk offline.
Yeah, we done a different time. So what'd you think of the game? What have you been talking about with the game, EJ?
The game was terrible. The game went kind of how I thought it would go, but I thought it'd get better. I think when I had you guys on, I said, and I kind of took what you took, Bart, a little bit, was that I think the game may start slow, and then once the Seahawks realize, oh, we're way better than this team, then they'll just, like, put it in, like, you know, put it in the sixth drive or whatever and just go. Their passing offense never allowed them to do that, and credit to, like, I think the Patriots' defense and Gonzalez particularly was just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But the Patriots' offense was exactly what I thought it was going to be. They had played that way for the last month, and they had those problems and protections for the last month, and Drake May was having problems hitting receivers for months. Campbell was a turnstile. Oh, Campbell was awful, and I just feel like that's not going to get fixed in the Super Bowl of all the games. This is week seven. He said, okay, we can get this fixed by week 14 or sometime in the regular season. I could say, okay, maybe you can get things fixed in the regular season. You kind of are what you are once the playoffs start. And if Drake May was going to have those kind of struggles and the offensive line was going to have those kind of struggles, and then you add on the fact that those receivers that I think a lot of people had questions about certainly didn't help him at all yesterday. They couldn't get open at all. They were just glued to those DBs for the Seahawks. They had no shot. The Seahawks realized that. They realized, hey, let's just run Kenneth Walker, put us in a position to get field goals. If we keep scoring field goals, they're not going to be able to come back in this game. That's essentially what happened. So the game was not fun. The halftime show was a lot of fun. I definitely enjoyed that. But that was probably the MVP of the game outside of Kenneth Walker, I think, was young Benito.
Did you guys – I was at a party.
You party?
Yeah, I never go to this kind of shit, which is why I keep bringing it up, especially during the Super Bowl. This is the first Super Bowl I've watched outside of my house since maybe when the Packers won it.
Wow.
Yeah, jeez.
I never leave my house.
I was in college when that happened.
Yeah, I never leave my house for the Super Bowl. I just like to watch it. I like to get the whole experience. And, you know, I've been a big commercial guy, but that era is over. You know what? I had a great – let me throw this take at you guys, okay? So the Super Bowl commercials, the reason they used to be good is because – there wasn't as much like expectation on them, or there wasn't as much necessity for them to live off of. You used to pay $3 million, get a Super Bowl commercial, go on with your day. But now with social media, you get to preview it. You get to talk about it. It's a whole campaign afterwards.
Gotta have staying power.
So we think we long for this day. And we do think we long. I'm talking all the time. Like I want to try to go analog. I reset up a VHS in my house or a VCR. You know, I never watch it, but I set one up. I feel like if you took away streaming, just streaming as a whole, no streaming, and blockbusters were back, okay? Do you know how quickly people going to blockbusters would end and there would be a new business of like DoorDash for video rentals? Like in an instant, people would be like, I'm not driving to Blockbuster. Can you rent this movie for me and drive it here? That would happen so quickly. And I say this example because I think we long for this lifetime that we used to have that was slower and more simple, but I don't think we'd be able to do it. I don't think we'd be able to do it. So the Super Bowl, we long for a game where Super Bowl commercials are good, but there's too much at stake. There's too much money. They're not, you want them to be the best commercial, the best commercial in the sense of what you're trying to do is get people to stop and look at the TV. And it's very, very hard to do that. So when a karaoke screen comes on the TV,
yeah,
and everyone's doing, I want it that way. And I've seen multiple videos, the same shit happen, where people start singing and then it says Coinbase. And people are like, oh, Jesus.
I thought it was genius.
I saw people doing middle fingers. I saw people cursing. I mean,
the
people
great
got really,
commercial. Really mad. What you find out was for, and the AI, the Ring commercial will track your dog. I don't know, man. Just lose your dog if we're going to have every Ring camera. Get a new fucking dog. Hemsworth is like, all the ways AI will kill me. And then AI's like, do you want a massage? And he's like, oh, this is actually pretty great.
Yeah.
AI, crypto, drugs, this economy, gambling. This economy's on a house of cards, boys. Anyway, that's my commercials takeaway.
Well, I feel like I saw someone post on social media that like this, there was that year, maybe like a couple years ago, that was like the crypto year where every commercial seemed to be crypto. Then this one was the AI year where everything seemed to be about AI. I hope it's one of those things where like, okay, this is not part of our lives, but then we can have normal commercials-ish moving forward. Like there was still like obviously like crypto in this one as well. But maybe we get to a new generation where this was just the year where I was like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to have to, they threw all their money and all their attention at AI because that is the quote unquote thing now. And we had to suffer through it just like a couple years ago. We had to suffer through only crypto commercials for an entire year. So that's my hope. They definitely were mid this year. I seem to be one of those folks. I didn't know it was controversial. I liked the Dunkin' commercial. I thought it was so absurd.
You would.
I thought it was so absurd that I thought that was the point. And I don't think people got it. Like, it was funny. I thought it was legitimately funny. Like, this is completely ridiculous. We kind of see what's happening here. And a lot of people, first, I saw people loving it. I have some friends from former Infinity friends who loved it. Andrew Bogish, who tweeted that he loved it, or texted me, he loved it as well. But then I saw a lot of people on Twitter be like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. I'm like, it's isn't it kind of obviously showing how absurd this is with all these movies and all these shows de-aging people, especially knowing being a Marvel fan and seeing what they did with Michael Douglas and some of the other people. Like,
yeah,
I'm like, this is obvious. I know what's happening here. This is funny, right? Right? And then it seemed like it was like a 50-50 split.
Yeah, I guess not. The de-aging, I don't mind the de-aging thing. And I haven't minded it, like, you know, it's better than recap. I don't know. But that was the sentiment. The sentiment was, oh, this is a funny commercial. I just remember hearing someone say, I got to go watch this one later because it was loud. And then, yeah, then you realize, oh, was that a bunch of AI? Were they just AI? I think people are rejecting AI, but it's going to get to the point where you're not going to be able to tell what's AI. Or
right.
Not.
That's oh, exactly yeah. what it is. You're only rejecting sure. it right now because it doesn't look completely natural. Once it gets to yeah. a point where it's discernible.
So we don't go super hard on it now. We're going to watch shit like that and have no idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
So that's we're going to be screwed. You mentioned something about something that I wanted to bring it back to something. So I'll just do it anyway without a sweet segue. Giannis coming out and saying he's a Kelce man. That really pissed me off. I think that was after we had chatted. Because we talked on Thursday, right? Yeah, on the trade deadline.
Yeah, and Friday, I think, was the day he posted that.
So I'm all like, Giannis, you know, Milwaukee versus everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But then he does this Kelce thing, and then you look back at the last 2 months, and it's, you got to wonder, like, what was real this whole time?
Right.
And even if you don't got to wonder, you kind of do, though. And also, you're announcing this the day after the trade deadline. Even if he announced it during the Super Bowl or was in a Super Bowl commercial, that's a big difference than the day after the trade deadline. Oh, by the way, as all of you guys have been gambling on where I'm going to go, I'm actually a partner with them. I think it's super
sad. Can now gamble here. Gamble here in the summer. See where I'm going to go.
Yeah, I don't like it. And we also talked before the Bucks got Cam Thomas. So watch out, East.
Oh, yeah. Fear the deer.
There's a new
powerhouse. Why did they get rid of him?
Because they don't really think he's part of their future plans. He's kind of
which is crazy because he
I use this analogy on The Fan. Actually, I just talked about this literally a couple nights ago. And to me, he is what Kenny Smith calls a looter in a riot, in that he's the kind of offensive player that on a terrible team where someone has to get shots, he's going to score a lot of points because he has talent. But on an actual winning team and an actual winning environment, are you ever going to win anything with that guy playing a lot of minutes? Considering he doesn't play defense, he's kind of undersized, he doesn't give you any value at the one, probably not. So I think for the Nets, could they just keep him on as a tank commander? Sure, but at the end of the day, like, he is going to be a free agent this year, and it was either pay him now or let him walk. So I think they feel like, you know what, let's just get him out the building so at least we can let some of these other guys come in and get some time. And it'll probably help our tank because he is talented. He could, in any night, score 30 or even 40 points. He has that kind of offensive ability. We don't want that to happen. We want to lose. So let's just get rid of him. He's not going to be on our team next year. So let's just let him walk in. Whoever wants him. And now he's with your beloved Milwaukee Bucks. So enjoy some Cam Thomas. A lot of isolation.
He'll be 34 point nights for you guys.
Yeah, you love ranges and isolations.
When you're describing, a guy that's going to put up a lot of shots on a team that can't shoot well, he's in the perfect place. He's gonna love Milwaukee. He's gonna.
That's someone had a call and be like, "Oh, the Knicks should get him." I was like, "Why? Why would that make any sense? He's not gonna get shots here. They're gonna need him to actually do other things besides shoot, which is not what they.
Like, I need you to guard somebody. Whoa, defense. What are we talking?
He wants nothing to do with that. In Milwaukee, he can do whatever he wants there right now.
I watched that Knicks game yesterday. That was a good win.
It was the Celtics. That's not a good matchup for the Celtics. I mean, if Tatum's back and he comes back, then it's a different dynamic. But they don't have the offensive firepower, I think, to match the Knicks. You know what's crazy? And I do this a lot. Whoever the Knicks play that day, I just play that matchup on 2K to see, like, can I exploit that team the same way like the Knicks are? Or can I, like, overcome whatever the Knicks failed that night? And I do that a lot. I'll admit this here.
Like, after the game you do it?
I do it after the game. Yeah, most of the time is after the game. Sometimes I'll do before, but most of the time is after. A lot of times it's a rough loss.
God, that's like,
and I'm like, give me the.
I love that.
It's like our version of watching tape.
I'm beating the Pistons, damn it! Like, I'm not. I don't care what I just saw. And I play on the hardest level. I'm not the greatest at 2K, and I smoked the Celtics yesterday. So I think just the game that I watched, the game I played, I'm like, this is just not a good matchup. If Tatum comes back, I think it's a different story, but I think where the Celtics are right now, they had a guardy record, but I think the Knicks, their physicality on the glass, and I think that their versatility in terms of throwing multiple guys at Jaylen Brown, it's not enough. They need another score.
Let me ask you this one, since technically it's the day after the Super Bowl. But I do want to talk more NBA with this trio at another date. But regarding, so I'm still in the mode, and I was telling Carlos this before you got on, where I still think, like, what would I have done on the show tonight? And you're doing your podcast in the morning and at night, so you're still preparing.
Definitely. Like
a normal, because you're on for a while. I would probably be struggling, and I'd figure it out because I'm a pro and I still have 8 hours until my show starts, but I would probably struggle with, like, what is this? Like, we saw what we saw last night. So what does it mean? Are the Patriots a team? Is this going to be like, is Drake May like Dan Marino? You had your shot young and now you're fucked? Or is this the beginning of something great for New England? Is Seattle, you know, does this rectify Sam Darnold? One thought I had last night was, you know, who should probably take a lot of shrapnel for this is Geno Smith. Geno Smith's on the Seahawks team. They're 9-7 forever. Sam Darnold leaves the Vikings. They still go 9-7 or 9-8. Geno goes to the Raiders. They're going to draft Fernando Mendoza. So he had a bad night, but I don't really know like what else I would grasp or hold on to like get, you know, cause you're trying to get a segment that's going to, you know, have some legs. I don't know if you guys, Carlos, you better come up with something. You're my producer. You were.
I mean, the lead is obviously that the New York Jets have drafted a Super Bowl winning quarterback. I mean, and you just hammered at that. That's the lead.
Baby. We did
the
it.
The Jets are excellent talent evaluators. Now, development, that's another thing. But they can sure evaluate the shit out of quarterbacks.
All right, so him and who's another one?
Now he's all we got.
Okay.
He's all we got. Joe Namath. That's where you're going back to. Who was drafted in
those sideburns.
Wasn't even drafted in the NFL draft. He was in the AFL draft. Straight not up. Even in the same league.
Because I feel like Seattle is a team that they were good. People know they're good.
Mm-hmm.
People respect what Sam Darnold did. People respect what the defense did. I saw the odds next year. I think it's them and the Rams 9-1, 10-1.
Yeah, favorite. I saw some way too early rankings as people still have the Rams higher than Seattle. I'm like, bro, we literally just saw Seattle beat them 2 weeks
ago. Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people are going to take a Seattle
repeat.
Yeah, I don't know. It's more likely we'll see a new champion next year than we're going to see the beginning of a Seattle dynasty. But I'm not going to write Seattle off like a bunch of people are already because Seattle's got cap space. You know, they could still bring in some people or like I think they'll let Reek Woolen go, but they're going to pay what's it, Rashid Shaheed. Like Seattle's going to be able to make some moves and they could easily make it back to the Super Bowl next year. I don't know. I think a lot of people would be like, okay, all right, that was a cute story. Now that Sam Darnold got his ring, we can go ahead and start talking about the Rams and the Niners and everybody else that we think is going to be good again. The Eagles and the Lions will bounce back. Mm-hmm. I think we're just kind of quick to dismiss what Seattle just did, but listen, I think they're legit. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I feel like we're just in a rush to turn the page. Like the Super Bowl is not even 24 hours dead, and we're ready to look forward to the draft and who's going to be good next year. Fucking Matt Stafford still might retire. You know, and we're talking
not
about the
Rams being the best team.
No, I get that, but how long? There's no way you're going to have him for like another 2-3 years.
That's true. I feel like when you think about what to take away from this game, because the Seahawks are that weird team where they don't necessarily feel like a one-off in terms of like, oh, we'll never see this team compete.
That defense is not a one-off.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I don't think their offense is. Like, JSN's not a one-off, and Kenneth Walker, if they resign him, they keep him long-term on a one-off.
And Charbonnet was hurt.
Right, and Charbonnet got hurt. So I don't think they're one-off, but they're also, like, not dynastic in how they look. So, like, they're kind of like this weird middle game. I think the takeaway from what we learned is probably that this is, like, the ushering in of a new era of parity in the NFL. We were living in the Chiefs era of football and this concept that if you didn't have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes or a roster that was stacked with all-stars like the Eagles, you just kind of had no shot. And now you're learning that you kind of can still figure this out. Like the Patriots, they got a lot of help with an easy schedule and a lot of other things went their way. In the playoffs, I think they got lucky with everything they faced. But they found their way in the Super Bowl looking like that. Like, think about that. Like, look at how they looked in the Super Bowl. They got there playing like that. The Seahawks took a head coach who I don't think was the hot candidate when he was one of the guys that was being announced as the guys that were being interviewed for jobs. They have a quarterback who was jettisoned from a place where he won 14 games, and it was his fourth stop now in the NFL. And they got rid of their one of the maybe the second greatest receiver of all time in their franchise's history. and they're in the Super Bowl. I think this is the era now. I think people can say, huh, maybe I don't need to spend $60 million on a quarterback, or maybe I don't need to have the guy who is super, super elite. Like, maybe I can get a guy who's just good, put him around a really good team, and hell, maybe all these McVay acolytes and Shanahan acolytes, maybe we don't need those guys either. Like, this idea that you have to get some offensive guru to come in and change life for you. McDaniel was the first coach in NFL history to win a Super Bowl calling a defense, which I cannot believe that that's the stat. When they said that last night, I was like, are you serious? And I thought Belichick, but then I thought Belichick had Cromwell, he had Flores, yeah, he had a bunch of Patricia, he had a bunch of guys. So I think this is like really the script being flipped on what you kind of expect from a Super Bowl champion, and people realizing that you don't have to go through that, down that same script. In fact, you could go down a different script and still be viable to be a championship caliber team next year. Because again, they're co-favorites with the Rams to be in the Super Bowl potentially next year or win the Super Bowl next year. So I think that'd probably be the takeaway I would have if I was putting my producer host brain on, is that this is kind of like the ushering in of a new era of, like, I don't know if we're going to see another like young quarterback or Mahomes himself come back and say, all right, I'm going to the next four titles again. I think this is an era where we're going to see a lot of different people talk to eat, kind of similar to the NBA, where all these stars and all these teams are now winning championships. It's not just the era of LeBron James or Steph Curry.
Off of that, first, Zach Gelb says, hola.
Hi, Zach.
I'll What's see you up, in my Zach? Sorry that. For your loss.
We have a Spanish halftime show and people are talking Spanish already. Mr. Positive says, hi, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yo.
This is great. El Bardo, let me tell you, what a halftime performance by Conejo Malo. All my Winkler Warriors in Detroit, we just absolutely loved it. I just, boom, shakalaka.
Hey, Super Bowl, terrible. Barry in Boston. I was at the bar. I came home from the bar. I left the bar at halftime. They were never going to win that game.
Patriots losing. It was all. That was awful. It was terrible. But that halftime performance, it was awesome. And I was at the bar, and I was talking to my son, who plays at junior hockey in some hockey tournament, and let me just tell you, it was awesome. That's all I got.
I didn't know Mike McDonald and Maria Taylor went to high school together.
Yeah.
That's crazy too.
I watched some piece that they did, like, not this time.
She's taller than him.
They did not ever interact in
in hell were they in any similar circle at high school whatsoever.
I mean, she was on the volleyball team, athletic, tall, six, whatever.
Yeah.
They never.
Yeah, no chance.
I watched there was some, because I didn't know that until last night.
He probably didn't know that until last night.
He learned that as he walked into the interview. I was like, wait, what?
He's like, you went to high school together? Oh, shit.
I went to high school with you, Maria. I remember going to your volleyball games.
But they gave a hug that was like, you know, when you hug someone from, but you're not. I don't know. I'm the hug police.
High school people are weird. It's like, there's like 85% of them, if I run into them again, I kind of don't want to have an interaction, even if I do know who they are. There's like a solid 15% where it's like, oh, if I see you, I'm gonna say what's up, I want to say how you doing, and have that little back and forth. Same with me. My closest friends also, we're the same high school group, but like outside that group, again, if I'm including everyone else, it's about 15%. There are people I've seen in public who I know went to my high school, and I'll just pretend that I don't know who they are.
Done it. Yep.
How big were your classes? Mine was 550.
My high school class, well, I went to the largest Catholic high school in America, in St. Francis Prep, shout out to the Terriers. I think our graduating class is around 800, 900.
Jeez.
Yeah. I went to a very hood high school in the middle of Queens. There had to be like 700, 800 people in there. It was one of the largest public high schools in New York City, Newtown High School, shout out Pioneers.
I think so. Based on, you know, to go back, I like a little detour with EJ, what you were saying, I think my takeaway might be like, what was the point of the AFC here? What the hell? So for New England, obviously they had a very easy road with the Chargers coming in as the 7 and then the Texans, who've never won on the road in the playoffs. And then the Broncos game, where even Jared Stidham scores on you right away.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then it starts snowing. But if I'm everybody else in the AFC, what an opportunity. If you're Baltimore, you missed out huge to not make the playoffs. If you're the Bills, my God, the Bills, this has to hurt just as much as any of these other. Now, would they beat Seattle? We don't know. I think Seattle probably would have been favored against any of these teams.
Yep.
But the Bills would have put up more of a fight than that. And I think there's an importance here. Not that it's happened every time, but the 1 and 2 seeds matter. The regular season matters in the NFL. You know, Seattle was the 1 seed, so they get a week off. New England, if you're the 2 seed, only 1 7 seeds ever won. It's my stupid Packers against the stupid Cowboys. So that barely counts. These 7 seeds they get in, it's like, if you're a 2 seed and you're at home, they're not going to beat
you. It's the Bulls in the play-in.
Yeah.
You get in and you get knocked out by the Heat every year.
They're not going to beat you. So I think these teams, even though the 2 seed doesn't have a bye anymore, I think because the playoffs have expanded means watered down, which means if you're at the top, it's a little bit of an easier road for you. I just think that, you know, while they're probably, I don't know. Could the Bills have beat Seattle? I don't want to say they couldn't have. Could the Broncos have? I don't know. There was a path there for any other team to get in, and they didn't get it. Mm-hmm. And the Patriots, they were just not going to win this game.
And it's very possible next year when we're looking at the AFC playoff bracket, it's very possible that 4 of the teams that got in now are not there next year. Because I don't see, you know, again, credit the Patriots having a good season. I don't see them go a path for them to make it back next year to the playoffs, let alone forget about going back to the Super Bowl. I think this was a grand opening, grand closing kind of window for these guys.
Well, they enjoyed the easiest schedule, and next year it will become one of the hardest schedules just by the virtue of being in first place.
And one thing else I think was lost on a lot of people of like, oh, wow, you know, the Patriots had this overnight success. I mean, Mike Vrabel, obviously he was coach of the year. Dude, the Patriots hit on every single free agent signing that they had. And, you know, this isn't the NBA where, you know, you can get a superstar player available because of, you know, salary cap implications or, you know, just it doesn't fit with a team or he wants out, whatever the case may be. In the NFL, if you're a free agent, chances are a team doesn't want you. So, you know, it's not like you're getting Joe Burrow entering, you know, free agency in his prime. So, just do I see a situation where the Patriots are going to hit on another class of free agency back to back? Like, that's so rare. So, I think it was a great turnaround, but I don't know. I don't want to say Dan Marino quite yet, but there are a bunch of guys who've gotten to the Super Bowl who haven't gotten back since. I mean, Jared Goff hasn't gotten back since. Joe Burrow hasn't gotten back since. Brock Purdy hasn't gotten back since. So, you know, it's going to be very tough if you're in the AFC to kind of stomach that the Patriots were your representative coming out of the conference because it might not be this easy again in the next couple of years.
I'm just going to yell at next year. Like, it's like, I want to make sure I got this right. They got the NFC North, so they got your boys up there.
The Patriots do next year?
Yeah, and they got the AFC West. Yeah, they're cooked. I mean, the AFC West had 2 teams that made the playoffs and the Chiefs. And then the NFC North has, 3 teams that made the playoffs? And the Vikings, who are no slouch and have a great defensive coach. We'll see what 9 is. But at the very least, you know you're in for a
He's never played for Minnesota game. Again.
And there's a chance he might not even be there. Right. There's a chance there might be a different quarterback there. So good luck to the Patriots with this schedule. And Jacksonville's in there, too, because now they're in first-place team. And Jacksonville last year is first-place team. So it's going to be tough sledding for them. I think that's a pretty nice shot from the logo from
About Mike Vrabel, I don't trust or believe in or think is good.
You might be on your own on that one, brother.
You're not. I was someone who thought that his hiring this year was really overrated, and I can't deny he did a great job this year.
He was coach of the year.
I agree.
I thought Mike McDonald should have gotten the award, but you can't be upset that Vrabel got it.
I think Shanahan could have got it. Cohen could have got it. Johnson could have got it. Vrabel. Dude,
the Patriots were a last place team that went to the Super Bowl. And you know, forget about the postseason success. They won a division where everyone put in blood it was going to be the Bills. It has to be Vrabel.
I just want to yell about a comment before I wrap up here. Didn't realize this turned into a political podcast.
Go ahead, mute.
Well, I don't know where I don't know if you, I don't know where in the show you're. So here's the problem is I understand that people. So first of all, this is my own thing. So I'm doing what I want. But if I was still on the Infinity Sports Network tonight, I would talk about the halftime show. And I found a way to, I think you can talk about it non-political, but I'm just getting really like, I don't understand these people that don't think sports and politics are intertwined in any way. They're wildly intertwined.
Always
they are intertwined in ways you can't even imagine. They are intertwined in where like Gerald Ford would have never been the president of the United States if the NFL, when he was in college, wasn't like a laughing stock because he then went to study instead, becomes a president later on in his life. He could have been a pro. He could have been an all-pro football player, never touching politics. Never. Politics and sports are very intertwined. They always have been. The only time people say don't intertwine is when they're being intertwined and it's not your politics.
Correct. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you don't care about politics and sports. You just don't want the other politics and sports. That's what you don't like. Regarding why it's come up at all on this show is because of the Super Bowl halftime show, which we always talk about. That's part of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has a lot of legs because you can talk about it, but you can talk about the commercials, and it all makes sense on a sports show. It's the commercial. It's the whole event. The flyover, that camera shot, that was sick as fuck. Did you guys see that where they were on the plane and they went to the guy? Or no, they were on the guy, they went to the flyover. It was the greatest shot in the history of shots. Yeah, check it out. But there was a halftime show that I can't explain it. You know what I said the other day? I said this in company. I wasn't sure, but I took it anyway, and it paid off because I was talking with a woman who is like she's in trauma. If you're going to die, you see her.
Oh, I got you.
Somebody brought in their kids and the kid was going to die. And she's like, okay, well, I'll give him this antibiotic. And they said, we don't believe in that. And she said, well, he's going to die. So they gave it to him. And then he lived. And then they wrote a letter to the hospital. That didn't make me feel good when you told me my kid was going to die. So what I realize is, I think we wrongly assume, and if either of you don't want to be seen in this sentence, please leave.
Oh, no, I'm good.
Or after the fact.
I mean, now you put the disclaimer.
I think we assume, like, you would never assume everyone's the same height. You would never assume everyone's as fast as, like, the same. Let me just use that one, because that's the analogy I use. You would never assume everyone's got the same speed, right? You would never assume it. I'm slow. I'm like, I ran a 40 in like 8 seconds. Okay. I can't move. I'm like Dave Portnoy slow. Right? I can't move. That's just how I was born. Now I can work at it and do things to help me get a little faster, but I'm never going to be as fast as people that were born fast. And I think the same needs to be thought of with intelligence. Some people are just born dumb. And some people aren't smart. And if you're dumb, you can study and be smarter.
Right.
But some people are just born with brains that you're not allowed to be running a 4.240 with your brain. So I'm still workshopping that one, but I felt pretty good about it. And it hit at the party I told it at. So thank you. So those are my, you know, the more that I'm trying to open up here, the less I'll ever work for any other person again.
Oh, yeah. You're not getting a job. That ship has sailed.
No. EJ, you got your pods going night and morning. You're on day 21?
21. Let's go. Half, more halfway there.
Can you tell the people how to find it?
Yeah, man. 40 days, 40 nights. New Generation Media. That's where you'll search on YouTube. New Generation Media. Subscribe to the channel. That's where you'll get 40 days and 40 nights where I do 2 live shows per day talking sports, as I call it, a sports-centered show. Yeah, because we will talk about other things regarding pop culture. Not so much politics, but with the Super Bowl halftime show, it's kind of unavoidable, right? So we've all done that. But no, it's a sports-centered show. We'll talk sports. We'll also talk superheroes. We had Bart and Carlos on. They were talking plenty of Marvel. We talked Wonder Man, future of MCU. That's the kind of show I do. A lot of fun, a lot of talking about whatever. But we do talk a lot of sports. Catch that 8 a.m., 6 p.m., Monday through Friday.
And by the way, New Generation NU.
Yes, NU. That's how you search it. New Generation NU Generation Media. Thank you, Carlos. Always got to remind folks of that. And I'm also streaming live on @EJ_Stewart and on Instagram, @EJ.
So what happens after the next 20?
That's a good question. There's been conversations. There's been conversation with me and my fiance and my dog. But yes, there have been conversations with my parents about what to do afterwards. It will not be something that's daily because this is, I don't want to say it's killing me because it makes people, oh,
I'm sure it's very taxing.
You could be in the coal mines. You could, I know.
I wouldn't have done it.
All right. So I know that every time I even,
I don't know if I do 40 days, let alone 40 nights in addition. I'm like, you're 80 shows in 40 days. That's a grueling.
That's kind of the point, right?
You're in Gallagher territory.
That is the point. And to me, so I'm like, it's taxing. It will not be daily. It will not be twice a day, whatever comes after it. But something will come out of it. Something's going to come out of it. Some kind of podcast show that's consistent that you'll maybe catch a couple of times a week or maybe once a week. We'll see what the timing is. But this is kind of like the launch pad for whatever that, you know, individual EJ show is moving forward.
Well, you're welcome to stop in the Winklerverse anytime. I think this is probably it for my radio career, however long I can.
I like it. I like it. I like it here in the Winklerverse, man. Like, you know, I feel like, you know, Spider-Man walking through one of those portals being like, ooh, this world's cool. I like it. Let me find Gwen or someone, and that's some fun here.
Well, and if you guys want, I think we're going to do a Brewers tailgate in July if anyone wants to get to Milwaukee to watch Brewers Marlins.
I tell you what, I've heard Milwaukee is really nice in the summer. My good buddy Manny Rodriguez actually went to school in Green Bay, so he talked a ton about how much Wisconsin's awesome in the summer. So I'm not opposed if I have money and a job and days off. I'm not opposed.
That's the big if right there.
Yeah. Now there's a lot. That's a lot that has to happen.
Brewers Cubs, but there's no shot I'm doing that in this economy with my lack of economy.
Yeah. I meant just like watch the game on TV. I can't afford tickets. Although we don't know yet. We don't know yet because I did just buy another $20 of lottery tickets because I got my 6-year-old kid really into scratch offs accidentally. So,
man, you're setting them up for success.
Oopsie. Carlos, EJ, guys, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate you.
We'll go national every Monday. Tomorrow's pod, I don't know what I'm doing yet. TBD. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll just do a politics only one.
What a tease.
Instead of dancing around everything I always talk about, I'm just going to 20-point plan how I feel about everything.
The opening segment, Mitch McConnell. That's it.
That's going to go well.
Exclamation point.
Just nuke any chance ever. All right, boys, thank you. Thanks for everyone for hopping on live or later. And as always, thank you for stopping into the Winklerverse.